This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to another hour of the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. We got lots of time for your questions. We invite you to call us at 877-726-8255. A very happy Thanksgiving to all of those preparing to celebrate, which is the vast majority of Americans busying themselves with travel plans and cooking plans and ready to host company. Apropos of that, we've got some great olive oil recipes that we posted at drhoffman.com. Check them out because, it's part of our support for myfavoriteoliveoil.com. That's the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club website where you can take advantage of a special offer to sample some of the best artisanal olive oil produced in the world. So check out those recipes. Maybe you'll incorporate some olive oil recipes in your Thanksgiving planning for this holiday. Make it a healthy Thanksgiving. Coming up, we're going to talk about the number one exercise for slowing down the aging process. Neuroscientists have finally nailed it after intensive research. They published a study in the Frontiers in Human Neuroscience on the number one exercise designed to slow the aging process. See if you can guess what that is. No, don't think that way. No, that's not exercise. It's a physical exercise. Before we get to that, we invite your phone calls, 877-726-8255. That's 877-726-TALK. We've got an hour to take your phone calls on medicine, subjects related to health. 877-726-TALK. And here's a grim statistic. Only 1 in 10 Americans eat enough fruits and vegetables. Only 12% meet the daily fruit recommendation, and a mere 9% the vegetable recommendation. And people living in poverty areas, of course, have especially low rates. Assuming that this result is accurate, it suggests an urgent need to take much stronger action to make it easier and cheaper to eat fruits and vegetables. So here are the statistics. 12% of Americans eat the minimum daily fruit recommendation of 1.5 to 2 cups per day. Only 9% consume the minimum daily vegetable recommendation of 2 to 3 cups per day, the study published just this week. So it's true when you say that Americans do not eat their veggies. They actually broke out groups of Americans by state, class, race, and gender. And, of course, some subgroups were even less likely to eat enough produce. Men, young adults, the people living in poverty had especially low rates of fruit and vegetable intake. Women were more virtuous. 15% of women eat the recommended amount of fruit each day, just 9% of men do. 11% of wealthy Americans eat enough vegetables, but only 7% of poor people did. Also, state by state, there were some disparities. Just 2% of South Dakotans between 18 and 30 eat the recommended daily serving of vegetables. That's the Badlands for you. It's a little bleak in South Dakota in winter. Also in West Virginia, which often tops lists of the least healthy and most obese and poorest U.S. states, they were the least likely to get enough vegetables. They only just 6% of West Virginians ate the recommended amount. Here's a real paradox. Residents of Alaska were most likely to eat the recommended amount of vegetables. Wow. It's a frozen wasteland most of the year. But the percentage is still low. Only 12% of adults there eat enough. So we got some problems, and no wonder the health of Americans is in jeopardy because of these grim statistics. All right, I gave you enough time to think about this. What exercise would you say has recently been named by neuroscientists as the number one exercise for slowing down the aging process? No, don't. That's not an exercise. Don't think about it. That's not. No, it's not sex. All right? Put that out of your mind. We're talking about an exercise. According to a study published in Frontiers in Human Neuroscience, people who are physically active can slow down their brain's aging process. There's no question. And there is something called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which actually acts as kind of like Miracle-Gro for brain cells. And BDNF gets generated when you exercise. So we know that exercise is beneficial. In fact, many studies suggest that exercise is superior to crossword puzzles or brain games in terms of stimulating brain neuroplasticity, which is the ability of the brain to recover and grow new neurons. But the neuroscientists behind this study say that dancing is the most effective physical activity. That's bad news for me because unless you consider the free form, solitary dancing that I do, you know, in discos, dancing, I mean, you know, when it compared to Fred Astaire, you know, it's not dancing. It doesn't involve a great deal of physical coordination and thought. So why should dancing be the most effective exercise for slowing down the aging process of the brain? Well, according to the lead researcher, Dr. Catherine Rehfeld, physical exercise has an effect of slowing down and even preventing the decline in both the mental and physical activity in the brain that comes with natural aging. But dancing requires memorization and coordination, and it combines elements of brain challenge in addition to endurance and flexibility and strength. So, you know, you can get, I mean, running, okay, you know, it's like, yeah, running involves some thought. It involves some degree of coordination. But it's something that you kind of naturally do. Dancing is challenging. It involves learning routines and steps. And when they studied the brains of individuals in this research, it turns out that only dancing increased the volume of one part of the hippocampus, which is the memory center of the brain. In particular, dancing, when followed by changes in choreography, it's like, okay, you learn the foxtrot, okay, now learn the tango, now learn, you know, Latin dancing, okay? Dancing, especially when followed by a change in choreography, is indeed superior to repetitive physical activities such as walking or cycling. I got the walking, cycling, swimming nailed down. But when it comes to dancing, they have advice for those like me who have two left feet and no sense of rhythm. They say, quote, try to lose yourself in the music. Don't think about how awkward and funny you might look. I try to put that out of my mind. And music indeed has many therapeutic benefits. It lifts our spirit, increases our happiness level, and therein may lie some of the chief benefits, because dancing, I enjoy dancing. For my recent birthday, I went dancing. That's what I wanted to do after a big celebratory dinner. And it was fun. Yeah, it was crowded. It was sweaty. It was noisy. But I went to one of the retro discos in Manhattan and danced the night away. And indeed, dancing lifted my spirits. And maybe, just maybe, it was the antidote to turning another year older. All right. 877-726-8255 is our number. We invite your phone calls. If you want to comment on any of the stories that we're talking about today, please join us for Intelligent Medicine.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality, deep, cold water fish using traditional, sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1. With no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest-fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. There's several ways you can get through to us with questions. One is by calling this program, 877-726-8255, and you can pose your question to me live, as one of our callers, Barbara, is about to. But before we take her call, let me mention another way to get questions to us, which is via email. radioprogram@AOL.com gets your email questions to us, and we use those as the basis for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer questions. It's a lively podcast where we discuss topics of interest and answer audience questions, radioprogram@AOL.com. And a third way to get questions to us is if you go to our homepage at drhoffman.com on your PC or Mac. On the right side of the screen, there's a little rectangle. If you click on the rectangle, you can record a question. And those questions get answered on our weekly broadcast as well. So let's take a live question from Barbara in Arcata, California. How you doing? Is it Arcata or Arcata?
Arcata.
Arcata, okay.
Right. So my husband's been taking warfarin for several years for AFib.
Yeah.
And I wanted to find out whether you are satisfied with the safety record and lack of side effects of some of the replacements.
Yeah. And with, for example, some of the newer medications?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole new raft of newer medications for thinning the blood if you have atrial fibrillation. I mean, there are many reasons to thin the blood. You could thin the blood, for example, if you had a blood clot in your legs or a blood clot in your lungs. And, you know, that's one of the, you know, one of the reasons why people need to thin their blood, because, you know, subsequent blood clot could be life-threatening. When it comes to atrial fibrillation, the problem is that there's a tendency in atrial fibrillation for because of the irregular rhythm of the heart, for there to be a pause in the heartbeat which allows a small blood clot to form, and then that blood clot gets shot up to your brain, causing a stroke. This is actually one of the major reasons for strokes. And so taking warfarin, which is old-fashioned medication, traditionally it was discovered because originally it was a rat poison. So in effect, you're taking a low dose of a rat poison. That doesn't sound very good, but it effectively thins the blood. You know, to kill rats, we use very high doses and they bleed to death. But when we do it with people, we carefully regulate the amount that they get. But it's tricky. So one of the problems with warfarin is you can over-thin the blood, then you can hemorrhage, or you can under-thin the blood, and then you get a blood clot, and it has to be very carefully monitored. And then there are dietary restrictions. You know, if you take too much vitamin K, you might neutralize it. So they came up with new blood thinners. And these new blood thinners have the advantage that you don't have to keep changing the dose all the time, because it's kind of like one size fits all. And the newer blood thinners, such as Pradaxa and Xarelto, these new blood thinners are now used a lot for atrial fibrillation. Blood thinners, by the way, also used for people with heart valves, because if you have artificial heart valves, you might have a chance of forming a blood clot around the new valve. These new medications have the disadvantage that whereas with Coumadin or warfarin, you can rapidly neutralize its effects by administering vitamin K. Until recently, you couldn't do that with these new medications. So they could cause dangerous bleeding. So from time to time, you know, you're watching TV, you know, you're watching cable news, and you see these advertisements from law firms, which are trolling for lawsuits. They're looking for people who've come to harm while taking various medication. Invariably, they're going to find some people to gin up a lawsuit. And many of them were around Pradaxa and Xarelto, because people would take them at the prescribed dose, and it would thin the blood too much, and they would have hemorrhages and dangerous bleeds. So recently, though, it's good development, they've come up with an antidote to bleeding if you're on those medications. So if you should show up at the hospital with a bleed to these medications, you can now take the antidote. It's just been developed. Are they preferable? You know, talking to cardiologists, you know, at first they were reluctant to use these medications because of the very fact that you couldn't regulate them. Some of them wanted to stick to the old-fashioned Coumadin because they were at least familiar with it. It had a lot of drawbacks, but at least they, you know, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. They wanted to use the traditionally used medication. Now more and more of them are signing on to Pradaxa and Xarelto because they're relatively safe. And yeah, there are problems with all these medications, but at least less of a hassle in terms of having to go in for frequent blood tests and adjustments when you're on the new medications, Pradaxa, Xarelto, and so on. Okay, well, thank you very much for your call. Thanks for listening out there in California. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-TALK is our number for Intelligent Medicine. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. We invite your calls, 877-726-8255. And, we're talking about yet another benefit of exercise. We talked earlier about the benefits of dancing. Now, yet another health dividend of exercise. But before we do that, let's investigate why the flu vaccine works so badly. It really doesn't work very well. And this actually is discouraging to many people who take the flu vaccine and then still come down with the flu anyway. Yeah, pretty often. I mean, I hear this all the time in my practice. People dutifully line up for the flu shot, and they say, well, I got the flu anyway. Sometimes they think that the flu vaccine caused the flu, but that's not likely. It just wasn't effective. And in fact, for the 2016-17 flu season, the last one, the vaccine was only 43% effective against the predominant influenza A H3N2 strain. And that's better than some previous years. The protection has been as low or worse in other years. So what's going on with that? I mean, are they missing the boat? I mean, originally the theory was that when they planned the vaccine, they got a plan way ahead. And then they take their best guess as to what the flu is going to look like in the coming season. And it's kind of like long-term weather prediction. You know, it's hard to say what the weather's going to be in January if you're predicting it in March of the previous year, right? But that actually may only be part of the problem, because they found that their predictions were pretty good when it came to last year's strain. The one that they put into the vaccine was actually pretty close to the flu that arrived during those winter months. So what's the problem? What's the hang-up? Why is there a disconnect between the vaccine and protection? And they may have found the link, because it turns out that the way they produce vaccines is kind of low-tech. One of the biggest consumers of eggs in this country is not people, but the vaccine industry. There is an automated process by which they inject flu into eggs, and then the eggs incubate the antibodies that are necessary for protection in the flu shot. And this is a process that's been going on practically since the beginning of vaccine technology, which really took off with the polio vaccine in the 1950s. So this is a technology that's 60, 70 years old, and we're still using it. And millions and millions and millions of eggs get used this way every year. So what they have discovered, and this just got published, is that when you put the ingredients for the flu vaccine into an egg, the viruses can mutate. And so what goes in isn't necessarily what goes out. And they traced it to a slight modification of a sugar molecule, which hinders the virus's ability to grow in eggs. So naturally, when you stick the virus into an egg, it tends to shed this sugar molecule so that it can grow better. It mutates. And that little change alters the structure of the region of the vaccine that's important for human antibody binding. So in simpler terms, they use the analogy, in acquiring that mutation, the vaccine looks like a triangle, but the viruses that are circulating look like a circle. So if you mount responses against the triangle, they're not going to bind very well to the circle. And that little change, that little mutation that occurs in the eggs, decreases the ability of certain antibodies to attach to and destroy the flu virus by a whopping 3 orders of magnitude. So they say these egg-based changes bode ill for the real world, because we're sort of locked in to this old-fashioned technology. They say, obviously people can say, well, stop using eggs. But we have a great reliance on eggs for the mass production of vaccines. They say it may take years, if not decades, to shift the majority of flu vaccine production out of chicken eggs and into other biofactories like cells. So, for example, when they make certain immunotherapies, they actually bioengineer cells to pump out certain monoclonal antibodies. That's the future of the pharmaceutical industry, is these monoclonal antibodies. And they're great big vats where they produce, they use cells that have been genetically programmed to produce these antibodies. Well, that's not yet ready for prime time with flu vaccines, and they're still reliant on eggs. The old-fashioned egg assembly line is going to be hard to replace. And so clearly, there's room for improvement and increased safety when it comes to vaccine production. So people ask me, you know, do you recommend the flu shot? You know, I say, well, you know, if you want, you know, take it, but it's simply not that effective. And for the very people for whom it's most important, people with lowered immune systems who stand to get very sick if they get the flu, they don't just get an ordinary run-of-the-mill type of flu. They have diabetes. They have emphysema. They're at high risk for pneumonia. They're elderly and feeble. They're immunosuppressed. The vaccine is less likely to be beneficial. Even the new amped-up senior flu vaccine that's designed to address these deficiencies has yet to be proven. Okay, this item, and it has to do with exercise. There's a call for teaming mental health professionals with exercise coaches. Should exercise be what the doctor orders for depression? More mental health providers may want to take a closer look at including exercise in their patients' treatment plans, a new study suggests. They say physical activity has been shown to be effective in alleviating mild to moderate depression and anxiety. What they surveyed patients with depression and anxiety, and they found that more than half the participants said their mood limited their ability to exercise. Well, it's a chicken and egg thing. You know, you're depressed and anxious. You know, you don't feel that motivated to exercise, but you may need a leg up in terms of ease of access and availability and some encouragement and some structure if you're suffering from mood issues. So they say mental health treatment programs need to partner with fitness programs to support their patients' willingness to exercise more. These patients said they were willing, they just found it, the prospect was daunting. And they say this support might come from integrating personal trainers into mental health clinics. That'd be cool, right? You know, you talk to the shrink, and then the shrink says, go to the dietitian, follow a really clean diet. That's going to help your brain. And, oh, by the way, talk to a physical trainer. He or she will design an exercise program for you. And instead of just swallowing an antidepressant pill or an anti-anxiety pill, many of which have a lot of side effects and are pretty darn ineffective, we might have a higher likelihood of achieving success in treating patients with mood disorders. Exercise absolutely makes a difference. And this story. Mushrooms are full of antioxidants that may have anti-aging potential. I'm going to try to line up this guy. Dr. Robert Bielman. We have him scheduled for a podcast next month. Professor Emeritus of Food Science and Director of the Penn State Center for Plant and Mushroom Products. He says, what we found is that without a doubt, mushrooms are the highest dietary source of two antioxidants, which can slow the aging process. Those antioxidants are ergothionine. You probably haven't heard of that one, but you have heard about this one, glutathione. Mushrooms are high in ergothionine and glutathione, which may help to slow the aging process itself. Cooking mushrooms does not seem to significantly affect these compounds. Ergothionine is very heat stable. He says that future research may look at any role that ergothionine and glutathione may have in decreasing the likelihood of neurodegenerative diseases such as Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's disease. They also have found that in countries that consume lots of mushroom products, like France, Italy, certain parts of China, there's a lower incidence of neurodegenerative diseases. While in countries like the United States, which has low amounts of ergothionine in the diet, there's a higher likelihood of diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. So, very cool information about those healthy fungi. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 877-726-8255 is our number for questions. And this is Intelligent Medicine.
Mom, my nose is stuffy. Can I have some Clear?
Sure, honey.
Wow, your child actually asks for a nasal spray? My kids hate the chemical taste.
Well, this isn't a chemical spray. This is Clear.
Clear?
Yep, Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R. It's the natural nasal spray made with xylitol. It has no chemicals, so it's perfect for my whole family.
How does it work?
Naturally. One spray is all it takes. My kids ask for it because they know it works fast and they even like the taste.
All done.
Do you feel better?
Yep, thanks, Mom.
Why hasn't my doctor talked to me about Clear?
Good question.
Made with xylitol, Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, is the natural nasal spray that's perfect for adults and 100% safe for kids. Clear alleviates congestion caused by colds, allergies, flus, and pollen and dander. One spray is all it takes to keep your entire family clean and clear. So ask for Clear by name. That's X-L-E-A-R at fine retailers like CVS, Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, Sprouts, and Kroger's. Or find a retailer near you at clear.com.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Take advantage of everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer. Just go to drhoffman.com. There you'll find cutting-edge articles and resources vital to your health and wellness. Subscribe to the podcast and newsletter to keep Intelligent Medicine content flowing all week long. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients. Finally, become a patient of my practice. I will personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all of our intelligent medicine principles. Or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our nutritionist. She'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Get the intelligent medicine experience. Go to drhoffman.com. drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. In just a moment, we'll talk about the benefits of having a dog. Yeah, scientifically proven. But before we do that, do you suffer from chronic fatigue? Well, here's the only nutritional formula that's clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. It's NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics. NT Factor repairs damaged cells. It targets the mitochondria, which are the energy powerhouses of the cells. And clinical trials have demonstrated that NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. NT Factor is available in ProPacks, which is your one-stop shop for all your daily nutritional needs. But a while ago, I suggested to Nutritional Therapeutics that some people may want to keep their favorite multi and fish oil and probiotic and yet still harness the power of NT Factor. So a product called Healthy Aging was born. It's the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking, providing you with a unique energy support of pure NT Factor in a potent delivery system. Now, I've been taking NT Factor for years. I don't go a day without it. And with a 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So order ProPax or Healthy Aging by calling 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ProPax or Healthy Aging. Go to ntfactor.com. Okay, when it comes to dogs, much has been made of the health benefits of having an animal. And Swedish researchers have found that indeed that is true when it comes to heart problems, especially if you're single. Okay? It is kind of, this may be for spouses, this may be a little discouraging story because either you have a choice. You can have a spouse or you can have a dog. You know, depending on, I don't know, I guess which is easier to live with and cheaper to maintain. Having a dog can bring a lot of love into your life, says this story. It could also make your life longer. Researchers at the Uppsala University in Sweden analyzed the health records of 3.4 million people in Sweden. And databases contain information on everything in that society, your hospitalization, your medical history, and even details about pet ownership. So it made it easy to suss out the impact of having a canine buddy. And the results showed that people in possession of a pooch were less likely to have cardiovascular disease or die from any cause during the 12 years covered by the research. So dog ownership, they say, was a prominent protective factor, especially in persons living alone. And we know that loneliness, solitary living, lack of social contact is a risk factor for cardiovascular disease and death. And what they say is that having a dog may mitigate some of the risk of social isolation. Single dog-owning adults who lived alone were 11% less likely to subsequently develop heart disease. They were 33% less likely to die than non-dog owners. Well, you know, I get it. Who's going to feed the dog? You got something to live for when you have a dog. You can't die. That poor animal is going to like nuzzle up to your cold body and say, "Where's my breakfast?" So it gives you a, you know, a lot of support, emotional support, and a raison d'etre. So there you have it. If you're single and socially isolated, and you know, taking all those vitamins, great. You know, good diet, exercise, but get a pooch. All right, sugary beverage consumption. There's a good trend here, with some reservations, and you know, with all the talk that I do about the downsides of sugar consumption, maybe it's making an impact. Maybe it's making an impact because sugary beverage consumption in the U.S. has declined. Now, I hasten to say that it's gone from abysmal to just poor, because in 2013, 61% of children and 50% of adults reported drinking sugar-sweetened beverages on a given day. That's the majority. But that is an improvement, because back in 2003 to 2004, 80% of children and 62% of adults reported drinking sugar-sweetened beverages. So that there, people are moving away, although the majority of people do consume them. And part of the problem is that there are disparities along racial and ethnic lines. Sugar-sweetened beverage consumption remained highest among Black, Mexican-American, and non-Mexican Hispanic adolescents, which we know are groups at higher risk for obesity and type 2 diabetes. And in fact, you know, this is very consequential, because a 2015 study of 180,000, a large number of adults worldwide, showed that consumption of sugary drinks leads to an estimated 184,000 adult deaths each year. So the linkage between sugar, sweetened beverages, and risk of dying is enormously high and remains so. And here's an item that suggests that another hazard for our youth, screen time. Screen time may be increasing symptoms of depression as well as suicide-related behaviors among our teens. Between the sugar-sweetened beverages and the screen time, we got some real health challenges to surmount. Okay, well, thanks very much for joining us. And as you contemplate the holidays coming up, a little time for rest and recreation during Thanksgiving, make intelligent medicine part of your healthy regimen. Enjoy the holidays. And listen to some of our podcasts, subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and have yourselves a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday, you and your family. I wish you all the best. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
The pursuit of anti-aging. We diet, exercise, use the latest moisturizers, but did you know that dietary supplements can make a huge difference too? Our body's master antioxidant, glutathione, plays a significant role in the anti-aging process by helping to keep our strands of DNA healthy. At the end of our DNA strands are telomeres, little caps that protect our DNA and chromosomes. Over time, these caps can become frayed and cell aging accelerates. Anti-aging studies suggest that by boosting our body's glutathione levels, we can reduce telomere shortening and help protect our DNA. But since our glutathione levels decrease as we age, we need some help. RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable supplement that is transforming the future of anti-aging health and wellness. RegActive features ME3, which has over 20 years of research and is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in our body, helping to support our cellular and anti-aging health. RegActive is available on Amazon.com. That's REGACTIV.